Let's take our Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 45 this evening. Genesis chapter 45, we're in lesson 8 this week. And I will remind you that last week we saw how God dealt specifically with Judah. And he was not the oldest of the brothers, but we know God's going to use him. He's going to be the head of the tribe of Judah through which the Lord Jesus Christ will come eventually. King David and the Lord Jesus. God deals with him specifically. And we saw last week how God brought him to the place where he had had enough. And a plea, a cry at the end of chapter 44 that's just almost unparalleled in all of Scripture. As Judah just opens his heart and he literally pleads for mercy before Joseph, whom he does not yet know. And I want you to notice the last two verses actually of Genesis chapter 44. The Bible says, as Judah is pleading, "Now therefore I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father?" Judah actually says, "I've relinquished all the rights to myself. Take me instead of Benjamin." And guess what the whole reason is? He says, "Because I care about my father." You see, he's changed now. He didn't used to care about Jacob because he lied to him. He told him his own son had been killed by a wild beast. But now he cares. God's worked in his heart over the years. He's at the end of himself. And here's the beautiful scene that's unfolding that helps us to see so much about our Lord. When they came to the end of themselves, and when Judah came to the end of himself, finally Joseph can reveal himself to his brethren. And that's how God works with us. And notice how he reveals himself. Chapter 45, verse 1. "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him. And he cried, 'Cause every man to go out from me.' And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?' And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, 'Come near to me, I pray you.' And they came near, and he said, 'I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and a lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, there's no more moving scene in all the life of Joseph than this one, I don't believe. As Joseph looks at his brother, and he just simply says, "I am Joseph." And he begins to speak to them, and he begins to act toward them in such a way that I think is so very glorifying to God. Because God had done a work in his heart. I want you to underline with me in your Bible in verse 5. If you'll notice here in your Bible, I want you to underline the little phrase, "ye sold me," "ye sold me." Then I want you to underline the next phrase there just a few words later, "God did send me." And this really summarizes Joseph's entire attitude toward his brethren, his entire attitude toward the Lord. He said, "You sold me, but God sent me. You sold me, but God sent me." You see, Joseph came to the place where he removed all what we would say secondary causes in life. And he just saw the Lord Jesus at work in every part of his life and in every circumstance. Literally, he was saying, "When you handed me over to the Midianite merchant men, it wasn't you handing me over, it was God handing me over." In fact, we see this throughout the Scriptures. For instance, in the life of the prophet Jonah, we read the story about how he ran from the presence of the Lord, and he got on the ship toward Tarshish, and then they found out who the problem was on the ship, and they said, "Let's cast him overboard." And so those sailors took him and cast him off. But in the very next chapter, when Jonah got right with the Lord and he was crying out to God, Jonah prayed in chapter 2 and he said, "Lord, thou hast cast me into the sea." He understood it wasn't the sailors that did this. He removed all the secondary causes. He said, "God cast me in the sea." And this is exactly what Joseph is saying. "You sold me, but I want you to understand, this is my perspective by faith. God is the one who sent me here. God sent me before you to preserve life. God had a greater plan. God had a greater design. I'm not holding this against you. I'm not living in bitterness. I'm not living every day of my life literally in bondage and in misery because of the things that you've done to me. I'm over it. I see that you sold me, but I see the greater hand in it. I see that God sent me. And Joseph, I believe, was truly able to forgive. He truly forgave these brothers. He truly forgave them. He didn't live his life with all the bitterness in his heart that we think he could have had, certainly. He didn't live his life in misery. He was able to forgive. And I want to ask you this question. How in the world was he able to forgive? How in the world? After all that had happened to him. And the only answer is this, that God in heaven enabled him to forgive those brothers because he just saw by faith that God was in every circumstance. That's it. He was able to forgive because God enabled him to see by faith that God in heaven was involved in every circumstance in his life. I want you to notice a couple things here as we think about this story. First of all, I want you to think with me of the principle of forgiveness. The principle of forgiveness. A great verse that we find in the New Testament is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. A great verse on forgiveness. Will you look there with me in your Bibles? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. As we look there in the New Testament, the Bible says this, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." See, there's a great principle involved when we think about the things that happen in our lives, and we think about the people that have done us wrong, and we think about the times that the circumstances haven't gone our way, and people were not for us, and people seemed to kick us while we were down, and we think about those times in life, and sometimes we think, well, you know, people don't even deserve to be forgiven for what they've done. People don't even deserve forgiveness, but we better stop for just a minute and think this. None of us deserve forgiveness. There's not a one of us in here that deserve to have any sin, much less all our sin, forgiven. We have no merit before God in heaven. You see, the only reason your sins are forgiven tonight or my sins forgiven tonight is because we've trusted in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He paid our sin debt. And the Bible says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And here's the point. You need to forgive others, and I must forgive others because God has forgiven me. Because God has forgiven you. The great principle here is that we must live a life of forgiveness. We must not live our lives in bitterness and in misery. And by the way, the one who doesn't forgive is the one who lives in the bondage, not the one who's not forgiven. Those of us who hold it in our hearts, we're the ones who are enslaved. And Joseph refused to live that way. I believe he understood God was in all this. You sold me, but God sent me. And I'm just going to release you. I'm going to completely set you free from what you've done. That's what it means to forgive. It doesn't mean to say I forgive you. It means to treat someone as if they had never harmed you, as if they'd never done that evil thing that they did to you. Joseph could have lived the rest of his life saying, you listened to me while I was in the pit and you didn't care. You laughed at me and called me a dreamer. You wanted to slay me, but somehow you didn't do that. You sold me as a slave. And Joseph could live the rest of his life with a chip on his shoulder. And that's probably what the natural man and sometimes the natural Christian would have done. But Joseph said, I'm not going to live that way. You sold me, but I see that my life is not about you. My life is controlled by God. God sent me. I'm over it. I release you. I forgive you. This is all over with. And in Joseph's mind, he was willing to treat them as if it had never happened, as if they'd never thrown him into a pit, as if they never mocked him, as if they never turned a deaf ear to his cries, as if they never sold him and lied about him and said he was dead. I mean, they even came to his feet just a few weeks earlier and said, one of us is not. I mean, they just given up that he even existed. But Joseph said, I'm never going to hold that against you again. You sold me, but God sent me. There's a principle of forgiveness at work here. And we need to let it work in our own lives. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's the basis of it all. I want you to know, secondly here, this principle must be put to practice. This principle must be put to practice. Look with me in the New Testament again at Matthew chapter 18. I want you to notice two verses of Scripture here. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, the Peter is talking to the Lord Jesus, and he brings up this matter of forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 21, "Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Peter asked a question, and then he kind of gave his own answer there. Verse 22, "Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Now, 70 times seven is 490. And Christ is not trying to say, keep up with it, 1, 2, 3, 4, 400, 450, 489. Okay, 490, that's it, no more forgiveness. I think Christ is just making this point. Peter, it's not just thinking, well, I did it seven times. Peter, your life is to be lived continually forgiving, just continually forgiving. There's never a time to stop forgiving. You know how some of us want to do it this way. We want to say, I forgive you, and we get over it, and then the next day we turn around, we want to hang it over everybody's head for the rest of their life. It's like they owe us something, like we're still the victim. But the problem is, when we stop forgiving, then God stops his blessing in our lives. Joseph was putting this principle to practice, and you're going to see as we continue to walk through the story that Joseph did not do that. It's not as if when he revealed it, he said, look, it's okay. You sold me, but God sent me. It's all over and done with. And then the next week or the next month or when they got down into Egypt, he kept acting as if they owed him something. Joseph didn't live that way. He just lived in a spirit of forgiveness. This is the principle put to practice. That's day in and day out saying, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven me, I'm just going to forgive you. Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, because I know that Christ in heaven, I did nothing to deserve his forgiveness. And you may not deserve it either, but it doesn't matter. This is how we're supposed to live the Christian life. This is how I want God's blessing continually. We're just going to keep putting the principle to practice. We're going to keep forgiving. You say, how can I do that? Well, when we see the Lord in life, when we see him in every circumstance, when we get our eyes off of people and just look unto Jesus, well, then we can put this principle to practice continually, and we can keep forgiving. Now, I want you to notice lastly, and I think this is very important. Think about this in this story. Think about the power that we need to forgive. Where does the power come from to forgive other people? I mean, people hurt us, don't they? People hurt Joseph. People can be cruel and people can be mean. And before we start looking at all them, we have to think about ourselves. We can be cruel and we can be mean as we're not living in the Spirit of Christ. Why should we forgive? Well, it's because even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. When should we forgive? Always. 70 times 7. But how are we going to do it? How are we going to have the power to do it? Well, here's a secret here. We find it in the Bible. Turn with me to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. Where does forgiveness come from? Well, who's forgiven you? Jesus has, right? Who is always able to forgive? There's one answer. Jesus Christ. Who can he forgive? Well, we say he can forgive anybody. It doesn't matter what he's done or what she's done or how far removed. He can forgive anything and anyone. That's true, friend. And you know what? Since he's the source of true forgiveness, that's how we're going to get the power to forgive others. Look what it says in John 15, 1 through 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Christ said, look, I'm the vine, you're the branches. And what word comes up again and again and again? He says, you need to abide in me, abide in me, abide in me. You know why? Because if we're not abiding in Christ, there's no way we have the strength of the Lord and the power to forgive others. Where does forgiveness come from? It comes from him. So how are we going to forgive others? When we abide in him, then he gives us the power. He literally sheds abroad his love in our hearts so that we can love others who are undeserving, so we can love the unlovely, so we can forgive those that we must forgive if we're going to live the Christian life and move on. You see, Christ gives us the strength and Christ gives us the power. And as believers, we have a spiritual relationship with God as a branch does to a vine. We're connected with him. And we have a spiritual relationship with our God that enables us to deal with other people in a Christ-like way. I want you to know something. When you see Joseph in Genesis chapter 45 saying, I am Joseph. I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. You sold me, but God sent me. You know what we're seeing? We're seeing somebody who's acting and speaking in the spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, how did that happen? Because he had a relationship with his God. He was abiding in his Savior. And how are we going to live that out in our lives? The very same way, friends. How is the world going to see us, and how are we going to glorify God in our actions? By abiding in our Savior, abiding in Him. And He gives us the strength to forgive. He gives us the strength to love others. He gives us the strength not to see the circumstances, but to remove all secondary causes, and by faith see the Lord in every part of our lives. There's a principle here. The principle has to be put to practice. But there's also a secret here about the power that we need to forgive. And we see it illustrated here in the life of Joseph. It's a wonderful story, and I hope the Lord will help you as I teach it this week.